Hi, Jean. Hi, Patrick. Hi, Juan. Hello, everybody. We'll get started in just a couple minutes.
Hi, Sharon. Did you get your snow shoveling done, Sharon?
I did.
Excellent.
Thanks. And I didn't hurt my back amazingly.
Really, really good. I was surprised at the snow. Like I was I just
Yeah.
I don't know. I thought I was paying attention to the weather predictions, and what I heard was like snow showers, snow flurries. I didn't hear like several inches of snow. So yeah, I was surprised. Not in a good way, really, but
Yeah. Well, I'd like to be skiing right now.
I bet you
It's
would. Have you
nice.
been skiing at all since
Yes,
we?
I
Yeah. Oh,
have.
good.
Oh yeah.
Oh, good.
Yeah, it's turning out to be a good year for that.
Oh, good. Because you haven't
So
had one in a while, right?
I
A good
haven't.
year
I
for it.
haven't.
Yeah. Okay.
Good morning, Patrick. Happy to have you here. Are there any confluence whizzes here? I cannot get this column to see how this goes like that. Anyway, if there are, if you don't mind jumping into the page and fixing it, I would be super grateful. But I'll put the page link in the chat. But I cannot seem to get this page to spread out again. Oh no. Let's undo that. So anyway, it's very strange today. But if anyone wants to jump in there and fix it, that would be great. Fortunately, we're not going to be completely on this page very long, so I'll just keep going. All right. Let me give it one more minute. I can see folks are still joining. We've got a lot of new folks joining, which is exciting. Welcome, welcome. If this is your first time at the Reporting SIG, we'd love to take a moment and introduce new folks. And we always have a good time here discussing data analytics and all that world. So I'll just give it a minute. Yeah, so I think we have decided this is going to be the last meeting of this year. So we will be starting up again January 5th with a discussion of LISTSAP changes in Sunflower. Okay, I'm going to go ahead and get started. Is there anyone who would be willing to do attendance?
Sure.
Okay, thanks, Anne. Feel free to spread out the columns. Let's see, the attendance table seems to be okay, so it
Yeah.
shouldn't be too. Thank goodness. But something weird is going on with this first table, but that's fine. We'll just get through that and fix it later. Thank you so much, Anne. Okay, so first, do we have any requests for topics for a future Reporting SIG meeting? We're just starting to look at the next year. Hey Scott, if you know how to fix this column,
Which call?
feel free. This first t table is just kind of messed up,
Oh,
and
okay. I'll see
yeah.
what I can do to fix
If okay, thank you.
it.
Feel free. I mean, if you can, otherwise we'll just fix it later. We've got the information, so I think we're still okay. But something got kerflooey there. I'm sure I just hit the wrong button or something. Any requests for topics as we look at the new year? And feel free to just pop those into the chat if you want, or just shout them out. Okay, well, if you think of something, please do let us know. Scott and I just love to take ideas and run with them, and you don't it doesn't mean that you have to present on that. So we just want to find topics that are of interest to reporting users across the Folio project. So So yeah. Okay. ACRL stats. There's not a subgroup, there used to be, that looks at ACRL stats, but if there's interest, anyone can start a subgroup. So are there any folks who are interested in starting a subgroup?
I would be interested. I'm sorry, I haven't been here for a long time, so it's kind of weird that I'm piping up, but it just comes.
You know what we could do, Bob, if you want to just to kick off, your interest area,
Yeah.
is that we could focus on ACRL stats at a meeting, and then, at the end of the meeting, see do people want to form a subgroup to work on whatever came up. Would you like
I
that?
don't know. Yeah, I don't even know whether it makes sense to focus on that, but I know I don't know what other people whether they struggle with it or not, or it's, I don't particularly struggle. I mean, I'm managing, but sometimes I wonder if I'm doing it. I wonder how others are doing it.
And I should say that the German group is doing a lot in that area, though not ACRL, for the German National Statistics, and they've written a lot of queries and done a lot of things to gather this information for their more granular reporting needs, though I understand they've been reduced recently with 2025. But that also might be a good place to start with this, because there was some original attempts at one query to rule them all, which never quite came to fruition. But I also wonder if they have enough things there that are the components of what would be necessary for ACRL already in place, or one could start from the beginning too. But I'm just mentioning that because I know that there's a lot there.
But let me attend for a little while longer and see how get a sense of the group. But I'll keep it in mind and see what comes up.
I think we did do that topic in the past. I think we had Arthur and was it Christy who co-presented on annual statistics. So if you look through our past recordings, they did cover that. And that might be helpful.
Okay. Thank you.
I think that
Sure.
was in March or April of this year, if I
Ah,
remember correctly.
perfect.
Maybe
Perfect.
May. I can look at it more.
A lot of institutions generate annual statistics. It is something that is of interest to most of our attendees. Okay. Any other ideas for topics that you'd like to see? Okay. Well, feel free to let us know at any time if there are topics that you'd like to see at reporting SIG meetings. Let's see. Upcoming reporting SIG meeting topics. Tentatively, we have the LISAP for Sunflower update coming from Kathleen Moore, January 5th. And I want to remind you that the January 19 reporting SIG meeting will be canceled for Martin Luther King Day in the United States. But we will have, we're still curating other topics for the other Mondays in January. Do we have any new members who would like to introduce themselves? Or if you're just attending for today, that's absolutely fine. Happy to see you.
Yeah, I'm happy to introduce myself briefly. I'm Jared Cowing. I'm the new, fairly new still, Discovering Systems librarian at Smith College. I don't know if you worked with Brandon Katzer in the past. He was the previous person in this position. So I'm new to Folio, coming from an Alma institution. So I'm joining a bunch or dropping in on a bunch of SIGs to figure out where I could be the most useful or where I might be able to both learn and contribute.
Excellent. Are you, is that in New York?
Smith College, we're in Northampton. It's part of the
Oh,
five campuses.
Northampton. Okay,
Yeah.
right. Okay. They were close by. All right. Cool. Wonderful. Well, great to have you. Anybody else new who'd like to say hi and okay. All right, thank you so much. Nice to meet you. All right. So, oh, somebody fixed it. Thank you.
Thank you for the confirmation.
I love it. Oh God, I hope I'm not just ruining it now. Okay. There we go. It seems to be steady now. Thank you so much, Scott. Okay. That looks a lot better. Wonderful. All right. So we want to talk about reporting SIG development priorities today. There are a few things in the hopper, and we really want to have everybody have a chance to see what they are and ask any questions that you might have about them, and then take a first cut on prioritizing them. It's hard to do that because, you know, you want to say everything's important. But if we can just kind of gently see if we can position those a little bit, it helps us, myself and Scott, when we're working with the product council, because they're asking a lot more from about priorities coming from SIGs, which is fantastic. And we'll talk about that in a minute, but let me jump over to that. Okay. So I'll put this page into the chat. It is listed on the left side of our reporting SIG Confluence space as reporting SIG development priorities. So you can find it at any time. And if you have topics that you know come up, feel free to add them to this space. What this page is kind of, I'm seeing it as a place to curate these issues, work with them a little bit, understand them better, and then they go to the community priorities dashboard. So we'll pop over to that in a moment. So let me just paste that link into the chat so that if you want to take that and look at it more. The reason that it's really important to go over these things is that if more institutions take a look at the issues and weigh in with both index data and Folio developers, it helps them understand what the priorities are for development. So I encourage you to, you know, if there's something that comes up that's really important for your institution, to get involved, to add your institution to the ticket in Jira, to add any notes that you want to tickets that are in MetaDB project issues. Those are the two places where these things get captured. And also to reach out to me or to Scott to indicate that this is really important to you. So really want to be sure that you have a voice in the development of this project. So this is what we have here. So we've talked a lot about data anonymization. So I have here three areas where data anonymization is being worked with in terms of tickets. And there might be more tickets floating out there that I just haven't found yet. But there is an increasing need to be able to protect data privacy in MetaDB. What these tickets capture are the things that we've looked at and requested for data anonymization and data privacy related issues, both in MetaDB and then also tickets that are in Folio that impact the data that's coming into MetaDB if you're running a MetaDB reporting database. So just to start with MetaDB, so there's a ticket here. support configurable data anonymization in MetaDB. So that's very broad, and so this does need to get curated. And you've kind of seen it has been around for a while, this idea of having configurable data anonymization. So I'm not sure where index data is with that. Do we have Lauren today? Oh, we do.
Yes,
Yes.
I'm
Yes.
here.
Lauren, feel free to jump in as we talk about these as you wish, or not as you wish. I don't want to, no pressure. But I'm just kind of going through the issues, and we can certainly work on curating them more. So there's a desire basically to be able to anonymize data in MetaDB. It differs in different areas. So in European institutions that have GDPR requirements for data anonymization, that's looking at it a certain way. Other institutions want data anonymization so that they can pull data out and use it in testing environments, which is kind of not so wrapped up in, I mean, it's data privacy, of course, because you don't want any identifiable data in a test environment, but it's kind of a related need. And we'll go through also what's happening with Folio that impacts MetaDB in this area. So we have a metadata, I'll just remind you, we have a MetaDB data privacy work group under the reporting SIG. And we've been making a lot of good progress, thanks to Lauren's help, on the issues of data privacy relating to MetaDB reporting database use. So, if you'd like to join, if that's an increasing priority for your institution, we'd love to have you. So, just reach out to me if you would like to be added. We're meeting every 2 weeks for now. So, it's not that often, and it's very focused on what is the development that we need to do to improve data privacy. So that's one ticket. This is the original ticket for configurable anonymization. It's kind of related. And this one came from me, and it's very specific to historical data rows. So it's all configurable data anonymization is sort of the umbrella for this topic, but this has just I included it just because it has a little bit more information about, well, how is that impacting us exactly? I have some examples here, and this is all curated from my work with a little subgroup that we have at Cornell on this. So this has quite a bit of information that might be helpful for you as you're looking at this list and deciding what's important. Data anonymization of requests. So, just to jump into now, this is in Folio. So, we're talking about circulation requests here. And what happens when anonymization starts happening at the Folio level is that as the data is synchronized with MetaDB, changes are made to the rows of data in MetaDB. And it's important to understand what the impact of that is. What we've seen so far with loan anonymization, which is done, so it's not listed here, these are things that are in progress, is that when you choose to anonymize loans, the current row for the loan stay is anonymized in MetaDB, meaning that the user information is replaced with null. And the historical data, the historical rows remain. And so, there's a question as to whether, do we need to, with Folio development, come up with a way to anonymize historical rows? But some people want history, some people don't. So it starts to get complicated. But those are the kinds of things that we're talking about on the MetaDB data privacy subgroup. So, in any event, it's important to understand what happens on the Folio side when you're looking at data anonymization in your reporting database. So These two tickets have to do with requests. So right now, just like loans have been set up to be anonymized, Folio is looking at doing that for requests. And you can see anonymization of closed requests is getting is going th through some development. I don't think it's been positioned for a specific upcoming release, but there is talk about more talk about doing this. So we're keeping an eye on this particular ticket. And this is another ticket that's related to anonymization of requests. Yeah, it looks like this is a little bit more current in progress. And so basically, after the request is closed, several institutions need to anonymize those requests to keep data private in their reporting database. And so this has very specific requests for what to anonymize and what's in scope, what's out of scope. So this is moving forward nicely. And I'm guessing what will happen is that the current rows of data for requests after they're closed will be anonymized. So user information will be replaced with null. But the historical rows will remain in the system. And so the question remains, how do we anonymize historical rows? So that's something that we've been working on. So if this is something of concern or interest at your institution, I encourage you to take a look at these tickets, find out a little bit more. Feel free to reach out to the folks who are working on them, or I will try to help if you have a specific question. Okay. Then we have a similar issue for fines and fees. This is definitely, not in hot development. It's complicated, but there is a need to anonymize loans related to fines and fees. The issue is that at many institutions, you have to keep the data around if there's a fine or fee attached to it. And so there are laws requiring that data to remain and the user information associated with those fines and fees to remain for a certain amount of time. And so that sort of conflicts with anonymizing. This issue was put out there and was closed. There's not a lot of activity here, but it's as close as we can get to understanding, what's been discussed about fines and fees and anonymization so far. So that's a little bit more complicated. My expectation is that that won't really get developed anytime soon, but it is important. So we'll see what happens with that ticket. Okay, I'm just going to pause for a second before we jump into reporting app. Are there any questions? Is this all making sense to folks? Do you have any further comments? Okay. All right, I'm going to jump into reporting app permissions, and this is a hot topic right now in the MetaDB data privacy subgroup. There's been a lot of movement going forward, and so I'm really excited about what's happening for reporting app. First, we have a couple of closed requests. So Mike Taylor, who does a lot of development for reporting app, and Lauren Sini, who has positioned these issues, have moved these tickets forward for Trillium. So we will be able to test that out in Trillium, and see how that works for us. So I'll just jump into these. So this is a reporting app user rule that will allow them to, oh yeah, this is one that I put in. Do the reporting app functionality of build query, save query, and run reports, but not have access to modify settings. So that's kind of a basic first set of permissions to develop. And so that's done. And this is one, I think Lauren put this in. Okay. Don't want it there. I don't want the preview. It's giving me the preview. Okay, it's 184, so let's just go to 184.
I can chat about this,
That would
Sharon,
be
if that's
great.
helpful.
Yes. That'd be great. Thank you.
This one allows for the assignment of the query builder functionality and the run report functionality separate. So if you only want people to be able to access like reports from your GitHub repo, you can now assign that without them having access to all of the tables within the query builder.
Nice. Just wondering if I should. Okay, so this is the query builder.
Yeah, that one's just the query builder, so it's the ability to build and load the query. You could save as well. So if you have queries, you need to save.
Okay.
So it's really just that one permission assigned. You do still have the ability to have both.
Okay.
And then this last one, I think, is showing just the ability to run report.
Okay. Nice. Okay. So I think that's also positioned for Trillium. And it's done basically, but it won't be coming out and it won't be bundled until Trillium. Another one that's in the hopper is this idea of being able to set your reporting app permissions to point to specific directories in your GitHub repository. So, you know, reporting app, the run report functionality allows you to point to your GitHub repository and run specific reports, right? So your user can do that. So you might have an acquisitions report that runs something on purchase orders, and that goes to your institution's GitHub repository and runs the report and then shows the results right in Folio. So if you haven't tried this out, I encourage you to do that. It's a pretty neat area of development. So the idea here is that it might be possible to restrict different functional area users to different report areas. So you would have, for instance, acquisition staff members who would have their reporting app permissions set up so that they could only see reports that are related to acquisitions. And you would have circulation staff members have access to reports that are circulations only. And you could also have a user who needs both acquisitions and circulation access, and you can give them both sets of permissions so that they would be restricted to, they could run reports that are in those functional areas. And so you would have to divide up your GitHub repository into those different functional areas and maintain the reports that live there that you deliver through your reporting app by functional area. But that would be a way to often our institutions sort of lump users together in terms of their functional area. selectors have access to this, circulation staff have access to this, that sort of thing. So it's to match sort of common way of dividing permissions at institutions running this software. Any questions about that? Thoughts, comments?
I can add a quick comment just to say that we are thinking and looking on this. Some of what is complicated is trying to figure out where this would happen. So a lot of our conversations right now are just trying to work out the details of how you would go about assigning this. And so there's not a JIRA yet because we aren't sure which direction we need to put tickets in.
Makes sense. Makes sense. All right. The next thing is also reporting app, which is the reporting app content permissions proposal. And we're going to possibly cover that in a reporting SIG meeting. It's still being reviewed to see if it's possible. This is I don't know if we have, do we have Stefan here? I don't see Stefan today. Stefan from Leipzig University has put together a content permissions proposal for reporting app. As I understand it, he's working with the index data developers, with Lauren and so forth, to see if this is even possible. So, if it is, we'll have more information about it. Any questions about reporting app? Any other reporting app related things, functionality that we should be looking at? There's a lot of focus on permissions now, but there might be tickets in the future to bring other functionality to the reporting app. So by no means is this, limiting what we're looking at. Okay. So next, I'm going to jump over to the Mark underscore underscore T table. We at Cornell, and there are a couple other institutions where this is happening as well. And I've been kind of in contact with Index Data, DevOps, to talk about this. So we're actively involved in trying to help fix this. There's a bug on the f well. It appears to be on the Folio side, where, let me just get the pop up the explanation here. As, yeah, it's, there we go. So this has to do with the synchronization of data between Folio and MattaDB. And as that happens, a replication slot is used. And if you have a table coming from the Folio side that doesn't have primary keys, it creates problems in on the database side for the data integrity of your MattaDB reporting database. And this seems to get kicked off, if you will, or triggered by data import. And so we have identified that specifically, the instance subject source and the instance, another instance, another table related to that will generate this error. And so we're in contact with the developers of the inventory app on the Folio side to ask them to add primary keys to these tables we've identified so far that create these replica identity issues because there aren't primary keys for those tables. So most of the tables replicate fine because they have the primary keys. So this is just an oversight in development, I believe, but it is causing an issue because what it means is that at our institution, we've had to take that table out of MediDB by turning off the synchronization for it so that it doesn't keep our data import process from being able to happen. So we're working through this. If you are, is anyone, let me just ask, is anyone seeing this at their institution? Does this sound familiar? Has data import, been reporting that they have problems?
A&M definitely has.
Thank you, AJ. Yeah, that's right. You had added to that. So yeah, thank you. And I think we've got you on the other ticket for that. Yeah, thank you. Yeah, we have TAMU on here so that folks know that it's more than one institution. Oh yeah. The bug isn't limited to data import. Claire, I wonder if you could expand on that. Is it hitting other areas or?
Yeah, so we've noticed it when we're working directly with the API. And when we went to delete instances, it was throwing that error. So I think it might be a more broad issue with MetaDB than just data import.
So it was that same error, the replica
Yeah, same
identity and so
error.
forth. Okay. Well, feel free to add more to this ticket. If you have specific information coming from your institution, because that just helps the people trying to fix the problem figure out what to do. But I do have you here, so TAMU is on the affected institutions. If anybody else is affected by this, I encourage you to add your name to this ticket. Just gives it a little bit more wait as it's prioritized. So right now we can't use these two tables that are affected, instance subject source and instance subject type because of this. So and I'm be nice if it could get fixed. Okay. So there are two sort of it's interesting as you work on these issues where something's going on with Folio, something's going on with MetaDB. So my approach has been just to put tickets in both places so that it's getting eyes from both perspectives. So we have the ticket in Folio, and then we also have a ticket that kind of explains that there is a ticket in Folio for this on the MetaDB side, in case we catch MetaDB users there. Okay, so there's that. Oh, I think I've, yeah. Let's go back to this Mark T issue. So, okay, that is pointing to this one. Hang on. Let's go to this. Yeah, so, the Mark T issue, we're working with the DevOps team about that. And oh, I see it's not pointing to the right. Okay, I've got to get it back here. Let me just, I know it's up here at the top. There it is. What we're finding is that we have multiple SRS IDs getting created for each instance ID. Has anyone else seen that issue? It's throwing off our counts.
It's
So that's.
throwing off our counts, but it's also throwing off our queries, our query results. For any query that you have the Mark T table in, you're extracting something from Mark T. you may get duplicate rows as a result of this problem, And so you have to fix it. You have to do this join to the records LB table as an additional step in order to get the one unique SRS ID record that the state is actual. And that fixes it, but it's it's a real problem for queries, and especially since not all the records in the marked T table have this problem. It's only the ones that for some reason have gotten updated in some way, and the the old state has been retained, and that's not good. So it varies. We've been running a counter query, a count that counts records that have these multiple SRS IDs in the marked T table, and that number varies. It varies every day, and it can be zero records that have the problem, or it can be thousands of records that have the problem. So it's not something you can predict. And it's just something that you have to be aware of and take care of if you're doing a query that has this has a marked T extract in it.
So, we're working with Index Data DevOps on trying to resolve this issue. And it's complicated. We've seen that it does the creation of the multiple rows for instance ID, multiple SRS IDs for each for an individual instance ID in kind of bulk batch processes and manual processes. So it's hard to pinpoint exactly what might be causing it. But we're continuing to try to figure out how it can get resolved. So has anyone seen this one with the marked T table?
Sharon, I'm wondering if we should post a query, the query that we use to find the multiples.
Oh, sure.
People might want to just take a look at that, run it, and see what you get. It's a long-running query. It is not fast. So you have to be patient. But just for your own knowledge, it might be good to check out your database and see what's happening.
Wonderful. Thank you, Joanne. Joanne put this query together, which is helpful. I'll put the link to this in the chat so that you can take a look and just, copy paste it into your instance and see if you get what this does is it will identify whether or not you have more than one SRS ID per instance ID. And if you start to see that, then you're having the problem. So that's a great
Yeah,
idea.
and
Thank you, Joanne.
it does take about 20 minutes to run this query. So, have a cup of coffee or something.
Thank you. All right. I think I have to fix these links. These links are going to the wrong thing. So my apologies. I'll fix those after the meeting. Okay, those are the primary keys. Okay, anything else? I do want to talk about this in-app report ticket that we have, or topic that we have, but okay. So last thing that's on this list here was it just our, curating the issues is this in-app report user interfaces are all different. Should we make these consistent? So Scott and I have talked about these and it's coming from the cross app sig and it's worthwhile to review this. Basically, there are different ways to get reports out of different applications in Folio that offer like that download to CSV functionality. And so what this is pointing to is that, oh, it's different by each app. We can let signals that this is something that people have noticed, but and just in talking, Scott and I have kind of gone back and forth on this, and sometimes when you're in a particular app area, you want your reports to be a certain way, and other app areas may want to have their reports a certain way. So it's hard to say, oh, they should all be the same. So I know that I'm unsure about this. I think, Scott, if you want to share a little bit.
I actually, you're doing a great job. This whole area is because I make use of some of these. I find that I love consistency across them. I'm also not certain that it makes sense always. And so I don't know if the goal should be to have complete consistency here.
What are some of the examples of the inconsistencies you can remember?
They might be on this, which we have to talk about anyway. We can jump over there. They came up in the cross app sig. So it would have been here. Cross app. Da-da-da-da-da-da. Ooh, did they take it away?
It looks like they did.
It looks like they did. Well, we had it.
Yeah,
Maybe we're the only ones who have it now, or no, we just didn't really know what to do with it. What would be some examples? We'd have to go into Folio to look like, which we can do, to take a look at some of the differences. But if folks here are using that download to CSV functionality, then in different places, then you might know what we're talking about here. But
So,
if, mm-hmm.
I was just going to say, I think that the acquisitions apps are very consistent in terms of how they behave in this regard. Whereas from users and some other things, they behave very differently. I don't remember exactly how they behave differently. I just remember they did. And the search interfaces are different and that sort of thing. Here you're not allowed to out. With the whole thing, you have specific reports that are running, basically pre-formatted reports in the case of users, whereas you have CSV of the actual data in like invoices or orders or whatever.
Yeah, let's pop over to that. So you can see this is the interface for users. And then, oh, Katie, I see your hand is up. Just a sec here. I'll pop over to orders. So,
This might be nitpicking, but even the language is different. Like you see the download icon and then in parentheses CSV and the checkout ones, but if you go to the request app, it's export. I mean I'm people can figure out the difference, but it's just like not even the language is kind of consistent.
And it's hard because each app, roughly speaking, has its own sig, and so they're the ones who are determining, well, what should these reports look like? How are they most helpful? That sort of thing. So, we can say the reporting sig can say these are inconsistent, and here's how. And it would be easier when you're starting to learn how to use Folio if these were more consistent. But it's really up to that area to decide what they're going to do to generate the reports. So what the they're in charge of development. So I mean, I guess all we can do is just tell them that, hey, they're inconsistent. That might be confusing for first-time users. But in terms of telling them what to do and how it should, we really can't dictate that. So anyway, that one's a little awkward. Katie, did you have more?
No, yeah, it's just, I think it's if people are from an ILS, it is kind of confusing and they migrate to Folio just because a lot of times, a lot of the ILSs have a reporting module and all the reporting is there or a reporting app, and then they can, everything is consistent and everything. But now they're kind of getting individual reports from different apps, and then you have the list app and then you have the reporting app. So I think it's just something probably that people need to get used to, that they need to go to different places to get reports.
Yeah, so I think that's the most we can do. And thank you so much, Katie, and Scott. And if there's anything else that we can do on that issue, I just don't think we can really position it so much with developers. It's more going to be, this is what we've noticed kind of thing, without a specific ticket. Okay, so here are the questions. For each issue, what do we think the priorities? Let's try to do a first cut on that. And is there anything missing that you've noticed along the way? And I have a specific question about GDPR. We don't have anything specific in there that says, the MetaDB data anonymization should match GDPR requirements, and should we be worried about that? There are things that will help with GDPR, but I don't know. And Lauren, you may have more on this, but I just didn't see anything specific when I was searching.
Hey, I think what I was gonna say is, I kind of have scenarios that I'm running with data anonymization as to what it need what it could potentially look like. Obviously, GDPR is one of those. At a, if I'm not cutting into anything else, I can give kind of the 2-minute summary that I kind of feel like I have three different ideas of how anonymization might need to work, or three different instances of it. So one of those is, there's some libraries that the way it works, it's perfect, that you have the data in the historic tables after it's anonymized. Some libraries want that. They want the current tables to have the anonymized data, and they want to be able to go back and query against the data in the historic tables, the where it wasn't anonymized. Just for the current setup, works for some libraries. You have some libraries that don't want any of this data to ever feed in to MetaDB, and I need to fine-tune this a little bit as to whether that's what works with GDPR, whether it's that would only having it in Folio, and then once that anonymization is triggered in Folio, it was never in MetaDB, so we don't need to worry about it. And then there is the scenario where some libraries want the data in MetaDB, but once that anonymization is triggered in Folio, they want it anonymized everywhere. So in the current and in the historic tables. So I feel like I kind of have three different scenarios right now. If anybody has a scenario I'm missing, please feel free to let me know. You can ping me on Slack, because I know we're almost at the end of this meeting. But kind of
Yeah,
trying
that's a
to,
really good. That's really good.
kind of just trying to mock out how people might need it anonymized to then figure out what makes the most sense.
Thank you so much. That's great. Perfect.
So I have a question about option two there. Keep private data out of MetaDB altogether. I'm assuming you mean on rows that are not current rows. So the current row, you have to keep
personal information, right? Because it's a current transaction. I'm thinking of CERC now, but maybe this is broader. But certainly when the item is returned, in case number two, you would want to have it purged everywhere, the private data. But if that's the case, then what's the difference between option two and option three? So in other words,
Option
what exactly is option two?
two would be keeping out the PII completely. So I think that circulation requests, those types of things are an area where I need to do some fine tuning on this. But having that data never pushed into MetaDB, there was a setting in LDP that I don't think anyone was actually using. But it was something that would do just this, that it would, you could, it was those columns with your PII that were never
Okay,
streaming in to MetaDB.
so everything, not even current, just checkouts, for example, you wouldn't get that information in MetaDB. You wouldn't see who had the book out,
Correct.
right? Okay, you
Yes.
could see it in Folio if you had the permission, but you couldn't see it in MetaDB because it wasn't there.
Correct.
Is that right?
This is the
Okay.
GD, this is the GDPR requirement that LDP met, right?
I believe so.
Okay. Great. Yeah, so yes, that was made possible for LDP. And I'm guessing maybe we have institutions that are running LDP specifically because they have GDPR capability. I'm just guessing. Unfortunately, we don't have Stefan here today to explain that, but we'll keep coming back to this to understand it. So I don't think we have time to position these in terms of priority, so we can come back to this. But I want to be sure that everyone has a chance to see this. If you have other issues that you've heard about that belong on this list, please do add them. Or if you have some notes or questions, just reach out to me or to Scott. We're trying to get these positioned. And just to jump over here, the community priorities dashboard, let me just update that so I can jump there, is where we'll add these tickets to be prioritized by the product council. And this gives us a little bit more support and in for Folio in OLF for the Folio and for the index data projects to move these tickets forward. We had the functionality with MetaDB 1.4 in here, but we took it out because that is almost going to be released. So the functionality is pretty much there. And then we're focusing on other things here. I think we need to do a little bit more work with these priorities, but we'll do that in the SIG and kind of go over them. Was that helpful today, folks, to go through each of these tickets, see where we are with reporting so that you can bring it back to your institutions, think about it, see if you have anything to add. Was that helpful? I'm getting one thumbs up.
Two,
I'm getting
three,
two, three. Okay.
four,
And anybody else who's like, where do I do that thumb
five.
thing? That would be me. Okay, good. Well, we want to focus on the things that that folks needs, and these things feel pretty important. But there are other topics like ACRL statistics and things like that. So always great to hear from you, and would love to hear what other topics you're going to have into the new year. I think this is our last meeting for the year, right, Scott?
It is. That's what it's,
So,
this is our final meeting until January 5th, when we have
yes. So pretty
Kathleen
exciting.
Marr.
So thanks to everybody for working with us all year to move reporting forward, to understand more about reporting, come up with new topics. And we encourage you to continue to join us into the next year. And we will be coming back January 5th with an update on List for Sunflower coming from Kathleen Moore. And so we'll have other topics. If you think of other topics that you'd like to see other than annual statistics, data, and stuff like that, don't hesitate to reach out to us. I hope that you've enjoyed our 2025 reporting SIG sessions. And wish you the happiest of holidays, and hope you all have a nice break coming up. And we'll look forward to seeing you all next year. That's the first time I've said that this year. So pretty exciting. All right. Thanks, everybody. Have a good rest of your year. We'll see you next year.
Bye.
Take care. All right. Cool. Bye-bye.